He said, you will go and report. Say, ah, priest, see, oh, this my friend and brother came yesterday and said we should go and worship another God. And once they confirm it to be true, they will stone the man to death. But the only thing they demand is that you have to say publicly that it really happened. So that his blood will be on your head. Peradventure, you are lying. But God said it. If you don't do that, you that you were spoken to, you have opened the door for evil to enter into the land. I don't know whether you are getting the point I'm making. If you see what Paul did here, Paul said where he heard it from. I mean, the man was going to address an issue. And people went and talked. He said, look, who went to report? I never agreed with you what you were doing. See? We did not agree to do this evil together. And I found a man who can solve it, so I went to report. There is, look, I'm not saying it's easy, but it's a good thing to do. You know, one of the things, why law enforcement is very easy in some of those advanced countries? People, they talk. You know, you go to a typical American's home. You know, you can kick down the door. The doors are not, they're not very strong. But the thing is that you won't dare kick down the door. Because once the door gets kicked down, the neighbor has called the police that there is a dog. Before you finish crossing the sitting room, police don't arrive to check. But trust me, in Nigeria, they quickly lock the doors. No, we didn't hear anything. No. We didn't hear anything. Let them not arrest us now for hearing. Oh, the Lord is good. No, I just wanted to settle that. Because Paul said it clearly. He said, I heard it from here. Okay? It's not that the people are gossiping. They are not spreading. Because one of the things that God hates are those that spread strife amongst brethren. That's not what the people are doing. If anything, they want to end strife amongst brethren. And it is a very, very good thing. You know, there are times I've seen brethren who, because they don't want to talk, they will. There was a day, I was asking him after one brother. One sister said, you should go and see him. I said, is he? I said, but I'm not getting. He did. Just open your mouth and I'm not saying tell me all his problems. Just a banky. The man you are asking after has serious problems. And in fact, his problems are so serious that I think. Now, if he has simply told me that, I probably have made out time to go and visit a brother and encourage him. But no, I don't want to talk. So that it won't be like I'm the one spreading gist. I'm not saying spread gist. I asked after somebody, you knew he had serious issues. And he said, I want him to go and visit him. I said, I beg, where he's staying is too far. I don't have time. So I just called him and said, oh boy, make the time. He needs your help. He said, why? Well, I can't give you details, but he has one or two issues along this area. And I think if you visit him, you'll be of good help to him. When I found out later, do you know, that's something I'm telling you, sort of almost 15 years ago. I was very, very angry with that lady. I was very angry. Me and you were together for hours. And in the course of our discussion, I asked after somebody. And you knew the issues with him. You couldn't just simply say, man, this is a problem. He said, I want him to go and visit him. I said, why should I go and visit him? Where he's staying is very far. And of course, if a man is well and alive and fit, everything is going on, why should I go and visit him? Do you get my point? Now, like I said, this is not very, very, well, I think it's very important, actually, because sometimes people get things wrong. It's different from just being a gossip and spreading strife amongst brethren. What they were doing was, there's an issue here, and they definitely spoke to Paul and told him, this is what we are beginning to have in our church right now, and there is nothing wrong with that. All right, the Lord is good? Now, let's get back to where we were. I think I've made my point. Now, let's read for verse 17 again. Okay, I want to go into 18. Paul said, Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. He said, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. Please notice the word is perishing. All right? That is, there's a process. They are on a path that's going to end in perdition. So they are perishing. Do you forget what I'm saying? He said, but to us who are being saved. I'm reading the New King James here. He said, to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Again, notice the word that there is a process of salvation which we are initiated into by what the Bible calls righteousness. We discussed that when we're studying Romans. That is, by faith we are declared righteous. And then the process of salvation, of healing, of deliverance, of being made sound is being worked out in our system. He said, for those who are being saved, the message of the cross is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. He said, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Please, let's notice these things. The wisdom of this world, he said, for since in the wisdom of God, The world through wisdom, that is his own wisdom, did not know God. That is, though they went through so much of philosophy and they thought, they did a lot of thinking and research and studies and came forth with what they call wisdom. He said God's eternal purpose and design is that even in that, they will not discover God. He said in his wisdom, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached. Or I like the way it says in King James. He said through the foolishness of preaching to save those who believe. There's something about that word, the foolishness of preaching. I think we did a message on that, the foolishness of preaching. Because this is how God's wisdom is. Let me just finish reading, I'll explain it. He said, for Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom or proof, all right, or intellectual reasoning to bring out a conclusion. I was watching on National Geographic Channel, and they were trying to say, and my wife was kind of so shocked, that archaeology has not proved that Solomon really existed. I said, the Bible says he existed. I don't need archaeology to prove it. I won't start reading the Bible after archaeology finds out some things. Do you understand my point? And Jesus said, Solomon in all of his glory, that is, he referred to Solomon. Are you an idiot? How can you tell me you need another proof that Solomon existed? That's what they call wisdom in the world. I like one thing R.W. Bollinger in the Companion Bible said. He said, why do they keep on talking about writing on stone? He said, writing on stone was done by human beings, and writing on paper was also done by human beings. Do you get my point? If somebody wrote on paper, it is as authentic as the one written on stone. So if you have not found the one written on stone, is your problem. I have found the one written on paper. Somebody wrote it on stone. Is that not so? Somebody wrote it on paper, and I have the paper in my hand. You say, until you find it on stone, you don't have any proof. Something's wrong with you. They said, did Goliath really exist? They did not found out one, like a name tag, written something like Goliath on it. Okay, there must have been people called Goliath that time. That begins to show that possibly there was a man called Goliath that maybe David really killed. I said, all of you are foolish. That is what they call wisdom. That the world, now see what they were trying to say. He said, the Greeks seek after wisdom. They keep on digging to find out whether the word of God is really true. They want to find out, you know, through experimentation, that he said God created the earth. Then come and explain to me the fact that we have dug up dinosaurs that are supposed to be a certain number of years old. You know this interesting part? In that program, I was watching Bible Uncovered, National Geographic. The people are relatively unbiased, but they're not Christian. They're just presenting some facts. And I realized that they would tell you that just a few years ago, they finally found proof that maybe Goliath must have existed. So if I had to wait till you find proof, until a few years ago, I'll be doubting the presence of Goliath. So when you now say Goliath must have been there, and I say, okay, at last, praise God for Goliath too. Then we start looking for proof that there was an Og of Bashan. And you know, you start looking. That's what Paul said. God has designed it. That those who don't want to believe, they will keep on looking for that wisdom. Do you get the logic here? So he said, the Greeks seek after wisdom. He said, but we, what do? We don't preach archaeology. We don't do textual criticism or higher criticism. What do? We preach Christ crucified. Now, that's simple logic to the Jew. All right? He said it's a stumbling block, and to Greeks, it is foolishness. Because to the Jew, he had the knowledge of God. He didn't need archaeology to prove to him that David existed. But as far as he's concerned, Christ is not the Messiah. So you preach Christ crucified, it becomes a problem. Until today, you know that is stumbling block of the Jews. The Jews and the Christians have one thing in disagreement. You know, people sometimes have one thing in common. They have one thing in disagreement. Who was Jesus Christ? To the typical Jew, it's one of two things. Either was a crook that was just deceiving people, or was a great prophet. But that's as far as it goes, as far as Jews are concerned. But for Christians, that's the beginning of their faith, that Jesus was crucified, and then he rose on the third day. The gist among the Jews was that his disciples stole his body, and on the third day, they got there. The body was no longer found. By the way, this is just because we are in that funny season they call Easter. Let me just say this one, by the way. You know, Jesus could not have died on Friday and rose up on Sunday. Please, you know, you have a brain. It doesn't make sense. Otherwise, he would have been dead for only 2 days and two nights. And you and I know he was there for how many days and how many nights? So please, somebody sent me a text on Sunday morning. He is risen. I wanted to reply, I know. I have to restrain myself because I know the young man that sent the text. It was with love and appreciation for me that he sent the text early Sunday morning. My reflex was, if it was one of my friends, I would have typed the text. My friend, I know. But my was that, you think he rose up this morning? Forget. For those who want to know anything, Jesus died on a Wednesday afternoon and then rose up on Saturday evening. All right, he was seen for the first time on Sunday morning. That's 3 days and three nights. Just for information, there were two Sabbaths involved there. The Jews used to call, they had two kinds of Sabbaths. There was a regular seven-day Sabbath, and there was a high Sabbath. A high Sabbath, for example, could be the day of Passover that didn't fall on a Saturday. So it fell on a Thursday. So that's why he had to be buried before the Sabbath. That first Sabbath was a high Sabbath. So those who rose up to go and check went after the regular Sabbath. So Jesus died on Wednesday, and he rose up Saturday evening, and then on Sunday morning they went to look for him and they didn't find him still dead. That was the thing. He said, why did we not say Friday? The history behind it is their hidden worship, and they were just converting sacred days to Christianity. So that's why December 25th, they were celebrating something else. They said, okay, now, it will not be the day we'll be celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. Well, of course, you don't go around discussing these things. It doesn't matter. Jesus died, yes. He rose up. Okay. Thank you very much. He said, rose up. On Easter morning, send me a text. He's risen. Thank you very much. I know. But that's just by the way. It's not important, all right? It's not important. Because, you see, actually, Christianity is not founded upon observances of days and seasons. I have never celebrated Christmas as a mature person and as a believer. I've never celebrated Christmas or Easter or anything. Easter is every day. I was even watching on that National Geographic program. They said that there was a contention in the church then. Some insisted on celebrating resurrection every weekend. That is, every day they met in church, to them, it was a resurrection day. And in my mind, I said, wow, those guys were walking in revelation. They were walking in revelation. As often as you meet, Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Are you getting my point? The way you remember Jesus Christ is one thing that he commanded by the communion table. As often as you meet, if you do it every evening, fine. If it's every week, every month, whatever it is, that is the day you really remember. You celebrate his death until he's coming. That's what he commanded. But of course, all this one is, you want excuse to eat rice. The salad my wife made yesterday was fantastic, you know, because people are going to come to my house and say it is Easter. So she made sure there was rice for them to eat. But again, like I said, that's just by the way. But so let's get back to our text. So for the Jews, he said that is a stumbling block to describe that Jesus as the one who died and rose again. Then you are really causing problems to the Jews. Paul said, but for us, all we are doing is that we preach Christ crucified. Now, last year's Easter, I didn't even know the year had gone like that. Was when I was trying to do it again, I gave a resurrection message. All right? I called it the power of resurrection. That's Easter Monday. I preached on, that's last year. I just decided to break my normal agenda. I preached an Easter message, something I don't do usually. I'm not doing this time around. This time around, we're just going on and say nothing is happening. But last year, I did that. And if you didn't listen to it, I really, really recommend that you get it tape and listen to it. There's something I want to bring up. In that one, I spoke very boldly. I wanted people to get angry. In fact, part of my reason for talking like that, so we understand that this Christianity is not a joke. I said, if I fail in life, listen to me, then Jesus did not rise up from the dead. I said, I knew the whole of Eastern Nigeria would hear it. Say, who does he think he is? Now, when you talk like that, I'm happy. I'm very happy. That's exactly what it is to say about Jesus Christ. I'm very, very happy. It means I'm going somewhere in life. When you start saying, who does he think he is? I'm very happy. But I'm happy because the Bible says that let him that boast in the Lord. Do you get my point? I'm not boasting anything. What I just said is simple. I am not saying that my life will check whether Christ was raised up from the dead. I'm saying my life will demonstrate the fact that he was. Do you get the point I'm making? That no, it is not a matter of we are checking. We are saying, we are declaring, and we are saying that our lives are the proof that you need. I like one thing my pastor in Lagos said, Pastor Kwaju. He said that, why did Jesus die publicly and then resurrected privately? He said, because the proof of his resurrection is not show. It is the demonstration in the lives of the people that are following him. Do you get the point I'm making? Yes, because you see, we must understand this. Because he's saying that this resurrection that we are preaching, he said we preach Christ crucified. He said, to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks or Gentiles, what we are preaching is Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. That is, this is the method by which God delivers people from bondage. This is the method by which God delivers people from sickness. This is the method by which God delivers people from poverty. What is it? We preach Christ and Him crucified. When I was preaching that last year, on that resurrection day, I was trying to explain to people, it's not methods, but a declaration. We are saying that Jesus was raised up from the dead. Therefore, we will live also. That is, we will walk in the power of eternal life. Because Paul declared, according to the revelation of God given to him, that we died with him, and therefore, if he rose up from the dead, it also means that we rose up with him. Please, do you get the point I'm making? Let me tell you something. I was studying the other day, and I realized that God told the children of Israel, after they tempted God in the wilderness, and they refused to enter the promised land, he said, all of you that disagreed with me, you will die in the wilderness. He said, but while we are waiting for you to die, he said, your children who are less than 20, who you said will become victims, he said, they I will take into the promised land. He said, but they will walk with you in this wilderness for 40 years, listen to this, as payment for your iniquity. When I read that, it shocked me. That God said, these guys will crawl around for 40 years to pay for the iniquity of their fathers. What am I trying to say? Listen, there are two things that cleanse the earth. Number one, the blood of Jesus has done the, how do I say it? Let me say the major cleansing. But Paul will say, I am feeling in my flesh that which is lacking in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. You know what he's saying in effect? Before the effect is felt in any area, somebody suffers with Christ like that. We are going to discuss that on Saturday, talking about walking in the authority of God. Do you get my point? When the people came to Jesus and said, grant that we will sit on your left and on your right in your kingdom, he said, you don't know what you're asking. He said, but listen to this. Are you ready to drink the cup that I'm going to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I'm going to be baptized? Something struck me as I was thinking about it. That during communion, what did he tell them? He said, this is my blood, the cup of the new covenant. He said, drink. It was a commandment he gave the people. I don't know whether you get my point. He gave them the cup. He said, drink, all of you. No, you don't understand my point. What he was saying is that, oh boy, suffer, all of you. You don't get my point. The cup, when God talks about cup of wine, it's not enjoyment. If it's in God's hand and he's handing over to people, he's suffering. He gave his disciples, said, take, all of you, suffer. He said, this blood, take, drink. That's when he's describing drinking, It is suffering. That is why he said, if we suffer with him, we'll be glorified with him. Let me tell you something to you. If you have vision, all right, like some of us who wear Nigerian badges around, we do. That's why we wear those badges. All right, Nigerian flag. Let me tell you something. It is crucial that you suffer with the country so as to pay for the iniquity of your fathers. You will pay for the sin of Shagari. You think I'm joking? The sin of Zeke, Awu, all of them put together, and all these descendants up till Yaradua, you will. Now, but it's temporal. What you are doing actually is, how do I explain this? You have to be buried in baptism. You know what he told them? Can you drink this cup? Can you be baptized with the baptism that I'm going to be baptized? That was what he gave them as condition before they could walk in authority. That it will bury you in economic hardship. We will bury you in power failure. We will bury you in bad road. You will invest money, you will lose it. Then one day, you will rise up again in glory with authority in your hand. And you will say to this road, leave, and the road will leave. You will say to a power company, leave, and it will leave. You will say to all kinds of industries, wake up, and you wake up. You will speak to any sector of the country and it will wake up. Why? Because we were baptized with that baptism and you drank of that cup. Not because you went to church. Who wants to give your life to Christ? It's me. Say, we are all children of God. Around nonsense. They came to ask him, I want to be rulers with you. He said, you want to rule? Can you drink? He said, we can drink. Are you ready to be buried? You know, baptism is not sprinkle water. That's modern day baptism. But then you shook you inside. You buy a car today, jam two bad potholes, the axle bent. Yes, that's baptism. Do you follow the point I'm making? It's as you walk through that, all right, the way you respond. You know, because I said something on Saturday that you see, you cannot pray effectively until you understand the end. Do you follow my point? That is, Joshua and Caleb, they were there, suffering unnecessarily for the sins of their friends. Most of whom had even died. Because of the 12 people that went, 10 lied, 2 told the truth, that Joshua and Caleb. The 10 died instantly before the Lord. A plague came from the presence of God and killed them. Yeah, Joshua and Caleb were just crawling around. But the interesting part, listen to this, is at the end of 40 years, Caleb checked, he had not aged in 40 years. You know, Caleb didn't age for 40 years. Because he walked up to Joshua. He said, remember Moses said that I could have that mountain. All right, give me the authority. I want to go and take it. He said, don't worry about that. He said, I checked my strength 40 years ago and today I can't tell any difference. For going out and going to battle is the same thing. So just give me the authority. I want to go and take it. He suffered for the sin of everybody as they walked up and down, but then God preserved him. That's what the Bible meant when it said that even though the body is subject to death because of sin, yet the spirit will give it life because of righteousness. Look, he said, the spirit of him that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in your body. He said, that spirit will give life to your mortal bodies. Let me tell you the matter of fact. Those of you who have faith like I do, especially in a country like this, if God ordained for you to chop life in Nigeria for 80 years, and you suffer with the country for 50 years, you will live to the age of 130. That 80 years might be complete. Let me tell you something, though. There's what the Bible calls redeemers. That is human beings that God sent to go and do the work of Christ again on the earth. They are not complainers. They are redeemers. First, they drink of his cup, and they are baptized with his baptism. What's that? Let me explain. We're talking about Christ and him crucified. What was Paul explaining? What we are doing is we are preaching Christ. That, now, I wanted to bring out something there. That the preaching of the gospel, that's what Paul was doing. You know, you've heard me when I'm talking a lot of times, I'll explain to people that, listen, I understand, you know, you heard me quote, I read books. I like anytime, if I see Donald Trump's book, I will read. If I see Warren Buffett's book, I will read. You know, all these big men, I read, you know. I like to know what people are saying. But I think these days in church, the body of Christ, we are beginning to lean too much to the wisdom of the world. In trying to do things for God, we are beginning to lean. We have to be careful. How does God do things? God will just look and say, you, do well. No further explanation. You don't get what I'm saying. He said, do well. My father said I will do well. Yes, in Jesus' name, I will do everything that I do, it will be well. Then a man will go downstairs and make a mistake. And it's the first step towards doing well. Error. That is fatal error. If he had gone to business school to learn not to make that mistake, he would never have done well in life. But because in faith, saying that, God said I would do well, he forgot to look before crossing the road. And normally, I'm trying to explain something here. Because he was so engrossed with the word that God gave him, that is how the guy would discover how to cross the roads without being knocked down. But when he was crossing, he wasn't thinking. He didn't even know he had reached the center of the road. I don't know whether I get my point. If he had counseled with people ahead of time or discussed with people, they would have told him, boy, don't cross. But he would have finished crossing before he realized that he crossed, and indeed he had power to get to the other side. So Paul was telling him, in effect, how did he get resolved? He said simply, by the preaching of the cross of Christ. Do you get my point? Listen, God doesn't have many methods for people to use. He creates methods out of people that have believed the foolishness of preaching. Paul said that we will be very poor and we'll be making many rich. I don't know what, you know, we used to carry this very stupid joke when we were children that, look at the Babalawo who said that he wants to make a man rich. You didn't even ask him, why come you are not rich yourself? It's when you don't understand spiritual things, you utter that kind of childish talk. Because the Babalawo that sits in the Longo, he has what name to do? He has anointing. In the same manner, just now to explain, the preacher can make a man rich and yet he will be begging God for money to pay his rent. Because it's not method that he tried. Is as he was preaching, he declared the power of God. I want to talk about the foolishness of preaching. That is, read Paul properly. Sometimes it doesn't make sense. You read the book of Romans, you go forward, put the car in reverse, shift to the right, turn left. At the end of the day, oh God, what are you trying to see? He says, it's not the excellency of man's wisdom. It's not how well I can articulate, all right, the things I'm saying. It's just that at the end of the day, by the time I will have left, I will have explained a simple principle to you. That the death of Jesus removed the sin of the whole world. And anyone who believes in him will be saved. After that, God releases his power. You know, I've had situations before that I will counsel with people. As I'm talking, in fact, one man called me recently. As he was talking, the woe he was describing was so heavy, I didn't know what to say. So as he was talking, I was praying. And you see, I have learned. This is how I handle it. Once the man finishes talking and I'm about to start talking, I'll just start preaching. I don't try to make sense, so I just start preaching. I have heard what you have said. But God said, you know, I have learned to just trust. Just declare the wisdom and the power of God. Not common sense. I've just learned to just say, you know, Jesus died for the sins of the world and people must never lose hope because inside him, the power of resurrection was released. And that power, look, I'll just be talking one thing after the other. Sometimes when I finish, I say, Banky, did it make any sense? But I have learned that I don't care. I wasn't planning to make sense. I wasn't planning to make sense. In Jesus' name, may I not make sense. I'm not planning to make sense. I will talk my foolishness. Inside the Spirit of God will ride. Do you understand my point? It may be one word, one single thing out of 50 sentences. It may be a fraction of a sentence the guy will hear. And that will be his deliverance. That will be his healing. That will be his direction. That will be what he needs for God to take him to the next level. That's what he calls the foolishness of preaching. Are you getting my point? Listen. I like one thing Larry told me once that one guy does in Asaba. That when Way of Success is coming up, the guy just puts a tape in and records. Whether he's there listening or he's not, his tape always records every time we air the Way of Success. That when he's not home, he tells his brother, record this thing. That occasionally when he goes through stress, he'll just think, when did Pastor Banky talk about this thing? You just look through the... Can you imagine the number of tapes the guy has by now? If I can contact them, no, don't just bother. Just hang, look for somewhere. Just one MP3 CD will solve a lot of those problems, you know? Imagine the number of tapes. It'll be plenty now that the guy has gathered. See, the guy will just go through and say, okay, this is the one. He will put one in. And this thing will start playing. Look, do I know the business is doing? I don't. Hearing words, the man became a builder. Do you understand my point? Before he was a jobless engineer who didn't have anything to do. Complained like everybody else. Country is hard, country is hard, country is hard, country is hard, country is hard. Then he began to hear words. And then suddenly he realized that, come on, I can walk. Larry was telling me that, I think I shared some of the testimony when Larry told me. And one day he took it by 100,000 naira to go and organize a party for the destitute. 100K. Just bought food, you know, rice, meat, everything, drink. Everybody eat and drink so that you know that it is God that is helping me. I had 100,000 naira to shell out. Look, I don't know how he plans his business and everything, but the guy, when you have problems, you put a tape in. So do you think I'm counseling him on business principles? No, most certainly not. But once the word is coming out, do you get what I'm saying? There is a spirit of the victor that's being released. It strengthens his spirit. Next time he goes out, because all these things are spiritual, the devil will see him coming and he will bounce back. And then, of course, you see, this is the way it works. Once that spirit of trouble moves back, suddenly the whole earth rearranges. So things will suddenly start working out well. Suddenly the bank will give him one facility. Then they will pay him on time for one job. Things will just work out well. And I say, what happened? You know, I was thinking about it again the other day. First, I wanted to start this Way of Success. And I thank God so much that we started the Way of Success. Every day I hear things. And I'm excited that we spend that money. Now, right now, we pay Cosmo FM 95,000 naira every month to keep the program going, which is very, very cheap. It's very, very cheap. If anybody that hears who knows the rates would know that, oh boy, what do you give them drink when they agree for that kind of rate? Okay? Now, I thank God because every day I hear things. I hear things. You know, in fact, my wife was teaching me of when Amara and Deji went somewhere and they said, somebody said, come and see Pastor Banky's brother. Somebody can like, where is Pastor Banky's brother? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? No, because of the effect that the word is having. You know, the MD of Cosme, last time we spoke, you know, in Chiki, remember that day? The man was saying, look, why they are so happy that this thing is going on. We have decreed EFCC cannot close that place. They can't. EFCC man that wants to close it, we close first. Personally, he will close, he will lose his job, they will sack him, they will expel him, they will imprison him. Can't stop what God is doing. I'm telling you, I know what I'm saying. No, there's a reason why I'm saying that. I realize the importance of what the word of God is doing. I'm so excited. But first time I was going to start, do you know I was afraid? In quotes, you know what I mean? First I went to Cosmo FM. When they told me the bill I had to pay, I looked at them. Because Sandra told me, quite frankly, I said, what do you guys mean? How can you tell me that you charge religious programs this amount of money?
She said it simply that they are not exactly excited about accepting religious programs. They really don't want religious programs. And the one you think about it, sometimes you don't blame them. If you hear some religious programs, you'll be very angry yourself. But so I ran away. I ran to Radio Nigeria. By the time everybody finished giving me a bill, I changed my mind about the radio broadcast. I literally changed my mind. I said, not now, later. And I'm talking about the power of the word of God, the preaching of the gospel, preaching the cross of Christ, not common sense. We don't have to make sense. We'll keep on saying the thing we are saying. We don't have to make sense. Nigeria cannot have uninterrupted power supply. I would tell you, it's a lie. We can. Why? Because today, you say it's Easter. And Easter means Jesus rose up from the dead. Is that not what he said? If he rose up from the dead, we can have anything. Someone will say, look, idiot, what has that got to do with power supply? I don't care. I've said it. I'm going. I don't care. So that day, you know, when I finished, after discouraging myself thoroughly, I sat down. Then one day, I drove to go and pick my wife in church. She had a meeting, the drama meeting. While waiting, I was playing a tape. This is what my friend sent me from Lagos. Pastor Bodie was preaching. Till today, I don't even know the tape anymore. I can't remember what he said. All I know is that day, as he was preaching, all I was hearing was that, oh boy, it is time. Get up and go and put the wheel of success on the air. What he said till today, don't ask me. I can't remember. I don't even know which tape. You know, sometimes you see that when the man said this, I just keyed into it. I can't remember what I keyed into. All I know is that I sat down and the man was preaching. And I was in the car that day as soon as he finished. I just knew assuredly. No, it is time. Taking some money. My wife don't draw plan for that money. Don't draw the plan well. So, but that day I just, in my heart, I just said, well, that is seed money for the way of success. So that day, my wife was in the kitchen. I said, that money, baby. She said, what? I said, I think the Lord has need of it. She said it like this. All right. First thing I did, I called the man of God. I said, Pastor, can you send me your account number? Yeah, I want to put some money into your account just to say thank you. Did you understand why? But my reason was that it was why I was listening to him. You know, there were 10 that were healed. And one of them came back and thanked Jesus Christ. And he said, where are the other 9? How come only this Samaritan had come back to give glory to God? How did he know the other 9 were not somewhere dancing and giving glory to God? Because one came back to acknowledge the source of the breakthrough, where God channeled the spirit through. So I called him and said, Pastor, please, can I have your account number? He did. So I took out of the money, took 50,000 and I prayed into his account just to tell God, thank you. That's how I give my offerings. Do you understand my point? I mean, I had the reason for it. So I sent it to him. No, I think that seed for me is now I give that money towards my car. I rant rubbish. I hate it. If you give me testimony, that kind of nonsense testimony, I will pray that the car will burn in front of you. So if you want to give, go and give somebody else who appreciates it. I don't. This is how I sow my own seed. The seed was for the way of success. Are you getting my point? Uh-huh. So took the rest of the money, paid for the first 10 weeks of the way of success. And since then till now, God has always supernaturally supplied us money. Twice, we have been given single offerings of 1 million naira one time. What are you telling me? You are getting the point I'm making. In fact, I was telling my wife, the one we're hearing testimony from here, I said, my wife, I said, remember the seed you sowed that day? I said, I remember. I said, are you not happy? It's not that now I have, see, Pastor, after I sowed that seed, look at the car, look at the car, look at the house. You only, the person who preaches to you, let me not call him names. All of you, something's wrong with all of you. The summary of it. Selfish giving is not of God. Good giving is that, I said, God, this project will be done. All I had was 5,000 naira. I gave it towards them and I said, God, in the name of Jesus. You know, that gives potency to your prayer. All this kind of prayer, we pray from a distance. Jesus' name bless them. God said, but you have 20 naira there. Share around now. Bring 2 naira, give them. He said, Lord, just bless them. And that will not get potency at all. This is the point I'm making. Listen, I heard a word that day. Are you getting my point? Look, after I heard that, I just knew that, look, this is the time. This is what? The time. How? What did he say? Do you know till now? I don't even remember the tape I was listening to, for sure. I can guess one of 5 tapes or so, but the very one I can't remember. But I just think this is the time. All right? It's called the foolishness of preaching. The man didn't give me methods. He was just preaching. And from there, a spirit jumped into me. Therefore, my I can't preach it to anybody else. Listen, that's when he said that your confidence will not be in the wisdom of man, but the power of God. You know, I can't preach that thing to anybody else. I don't have a method of saying, go to Cosmo for the first time, then go to Nigeria, then meet somebody to advise to go back to Cosmo. Then Cosmo will give you, because that's exactly what happened. I went to Cosmo FS, the price drove me to Nigeria. The price of Nigeria was a bit lower, but was still terrible in the presence of the Lord, you know. So finally, I said, okay, we'll pay. I went, negotiated time. The day I was supposed to go and pay, somebody said, okay, why are you going to Nigeria? Why don't you just go to Cosmo? I said, those people, they are ready. He said, just go and talk to them. You never can tell. And I actually went to talk to them, and I never could tell. And what happened was that they broke. Do you get my point? And since then, God through them has been good consistently to the way of success. Try and follow my footsteps, you'll be surprised. The thing will go another way. But when your own word comes to you, do you get my point? You have your own testimony to tell. That's why, you know, people tell me that, the day I took these 5 steps, and I get away with your 5 steps. Look, we can never have confidence in the wisdom of man. But in the preaching of the word of God, once the word of God is preached, something will enter into us and give us victory. Do you get the point I'm making? And that's what Paul was explaining here. It's not about wisdom. Let me just read this line and then we'll be out of here. He said, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. That is, when men look at the things that God is doing and they call it foolish, the result will prove that God is eternally wiser than their own wisdom. And then what they thought to be weakness will turn out to be the thing that will produce greater results than they could ever imagine. That's summary of what Paul was saying in verse 25. Are you getting my point? The Lord is good. We'll continue from that verse 26 next time. Let us pray.